A statistic that really caught my attention was that if you can find 4 hours a week of inefficient time, 4 hours, I think we can all agree that we waste 4 hours a week. You get 5 work weeks back a year.
Welcome to the Business of Sales podcast. I'm your host, Morris Sims. Hey, do you ever feel like you're working harder than ever before, but your business and your income, well, they're just not growing like you want them to? Are you putting in more hours every week and seeing essentially the same results? Well, I can tell you, I've been there and I've done that. I learned how to go from 30 grand a year and 2 weeks off to almost $500,000 a year and 5 weeks off. We know how to help you grow your business, your time, and your income. This podcast is all about helping you grow. We have top salespeople and business owners sharing their knowledge with you every week, and a few times a month, well, I'm going to share specific growth strategies with you as well. So, hey, let's make it happen right now. Here's this week's episode. Misty Wildseed is our guest today on the Business of Sales. Misty already did episode number 79 for us, and now we're going to do it again, and we're going to talk about an entirely, well, maybe not entirely different, but a different topic with Misty about agent development and developing ourselves as business owners. So, Misty, again, welcome to the Business of Sales.
Thanks, Morris.
So you do a lot of work with agent development in your business as a managing partner at Pacific Advisors. What is your philosophy about developing yourself as an agent or as a business owner, really? What sort of things do you think about? What sort of things do you think about for your team? How do you view this whole idea of developing yourself?
Well, look, I mean, learning is one of my core values. Never stop learning is written in my core values, right? So I'm a huge proponent of self-development, whether that's business development, you know, in your business or your practice or just as a human, right? Like, I'm constantly trying to learn more about health and wellness and psychology. And so I'm, you know, that phrase, you're either green and growing or ripe and dying. I choose to be green and growing. And I really try to instill that value, with the advisors that I work with as well.
Oh, I love it. That's great. Green or growing or ripe and
dying.
Okay. When you're talking about developing yourself, I know you hold the CLU, CHFC, CFP designations, and you're about to get your CLF designation. I think that pretty well speaks to the fact that you are always working on learning and learning more and more. Misty, how about coaches and consultants? Is that something that's important?
Yes. I have had a business coach pretty much my entire career. I've been in this business almost 15 years. And I remember the first coach that I had, I was like, I can't afford a coach. You know, I mean, you know how it is. Everyone in this business, when you get in, none of us make any money at the beginning. I shouldn't say that. Some people make a lot of money at the beginning. I did not make a lot of money at the beginning. I did not feel like I could afford a coach. And it was really changing that mindset when someone says you can't afford not to have a coach, because this coach is going to help you not only make up the money that you're spending on their coaching services, but you're going to make more. And that has absolutely happened every time I've hired a coach or you know, a consultant or whatever. And sometimes tenfold, right? So I think that just having someone else to bounce ideas off of, having someone else, you know, we have all these thoughts in our head, as we talked about on our last podcast, having someone else to digest those thoughts with and help us redirect and see through the forest when we necessarily can't see it ourselves, is really, really important. And I think that having someone outside of your current organization for me has always been really valuable, because sometimes it's hard to be 100% authentic and vulnerable with people that you work with day in and day out. And it's easier to open up maybe to an outsider. So I know that that was true for me, and a lot of the advisors that I talk to feel just more comfortable being 100% transparent with the things that they're struggling with, right? Whether it's something in their personal life or business or whatever.
I know with my own clients, it's been interesting for me as a coach or a consultant. When I started out, I thought, well, I'm supposed to have all the answers, but I don't, and I can't. I don't think anybody can. But what a good coach or consultant does bring to the table are the questions, that you need to think about to be able to answer, to be able to get to where you want to be. Because the whole objective is to help you get to what you want, not what I want or what the world thinks should be next, but what do you really and truly want? So I couldn't agree more with you, that's for sure. Look, a quick break in the conversation because I got something for you. You want to grow your business and you don't want to have to work 60 or 80 hours a week to do it. Is that right? Well, I bet it is because most of the folks that I talk to tell me they're working too much for too little in return. Would you like to tap into some of the great ideas and concepts that can help you grow your business and help you get off that plateau where, you know, everything seems to be the same? Same work, same people, same results? Well, we can help you do just that. Each week, we'll put a brief but practical idea in your inbox that you can use to help you grow and run your business more effectively and efficiently. All you have to do is go to www.morrissims.com/free audio. You know how that works. It's all one word. www.morrissims.com/free audio. When you do, just drop your email address in and then we'll immediately give you a download of a free audio that you can listen to whenever you want to, whatever works best for you. This week's audio is a boatload of concepts and practical ideas on marketing and prospecting and creating that consistent stream of prospects for your business. Pause the business of sales and go to www.morrissims.com/free audio and get your free audio download. Right now, let's get back to the show. Yeah, there are a lot of different areas that people look at when it's time to get better at what we do as business owners. And I think that, you know, planning your time is one of those, you know, planning your behavior around your time because we all have 24/7, so I've got to plan what I'm going to do during all that time. Misty, how do you do that today? What do you do to manage your own self in the time that's given for work and family, for that matter?
Yeah. You know, I used to be stuck in this false narrative with myself that there was not enough time. I don't have time to work out. I don't have time to food prep. I don't have time to do XYZ business thing, right? And that was just the story. The stories we tell ourselves are the lies we tell ourselves, right? Because the reality is there's 168 hours in a week and no one has figured out how to expand time, right?
Right.
Others have figured out how to prioritize it. And so we all have the same 168 hours. And those of us who are, you know, the people that are the most successful have figured out how to be hyper clear on what to do with that time. So for me, first thing it starts, I talked about this in the last podcast, is getting really clear on your vision. Like, what is it that you're looking to accomplish? And then looking at your calendar and how you're spending your time and saying, what am I doing to support that effort, right? What am I doing to get closer to that vision? One of the best exercises I ever learned was actually with a business coach that I worked with almost a decade ago. And he had me do a 2-week every 30 minutes track my time exercise. So it was called a DAR, daily accountability report, where I had to look at everything I did for 30, every 30 minutes, I had to say like what I did, whether it was, you know, in business or doing laundry or whatever. Right. And it is amazing how inefficient you are with your time when you actually track it. Right. And a statistic that really caught my attention was that if you can find 4 hours a week of inefficient time, 4 hours. I think we can all agree that we waste 4 hours a week, right? That's not even an hour a day, yeah. Right? It's like 37 minutes or something like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or 47, I don't know, whatever it is. You get 5 work weeks back a year.
Wow.
5 work weeks back a year. And people are like, that math doesn't make sense. I'm like, do the math, right? 4 hours times 52 weeks is 200 and something hours divided by 40, right? In a work week is 5 weeks a year. So if you can just get efficient with 4 hours of your week, you get 5 weeks a year back. So it really, you know, speaks to like, could you hit that next council level at work? Could you, you know, take that vacation you always say you have time for? Could you practice that, you know, instrument or, you know, sport that you wanted to do or whatever? So we all have enough time. We're just not usually spending our time. So I've actually done that exercise every year for myself for almost a decade. And the first time I did it, I found lots of hours, right? I was very inefficient. I probably found 10 or 15 hours a week that I'm like, oh my God, I scrolled on social media for way too long. Like, all of the got a minute questions that could have been an email that turned into a 30 minute conversation, right? So I had a lot of inefficient time. And as I've done this over the years, I've become much more aware of my time. So I've gotten better and better, but it's still a great exercise to do every year because your environment changes, your circumstances change, and the things that suck away your time change. So to be aware of that, that's really good. And then what I use, so I highly recommend that exercise. And then what I use from a day-to-day perspective is something called a Panda Planner. You can get it on Amazon. It's like $25 or $30, something like that. And it's a 6-month little journal that breaks it down into daily, weekly, and monthly. And so every month I kind of map out the month. What does that look like? Am I traveling for conferences or vacation? Do I have, you know, engagements that I need to commit to that are going to take me out of my business for a certain amount of time? And then weekly, I'm looking at, you know, how am I going to make sure that I rock this week at work? How am I going to make sure that I'm nurturing my most important relationships? For me, that happens to be, you know, my spouse and my kids and my parents and friendships. How am I going to make sure I'm taking care of myself, right? Because, you know, a lot of people do this. We ignore ourselves, right? Everyone else comes first priority and then we're running on empty and we can't be the best, you know, care for others if we're running on empty. And so anyways, the Panda Planner has been really amazing. And then after the weekly, of course you do the daily. So it's just nice to have a guided tool to help you, you know, navigate your day.
You know, I went electronic with all of this when I started my own company and built my own thing in OneNote. But since you taught me about the Panda Planner, I got one.
How do you like it? Have you used it yet?
I have. I do it every day. Well, let's not be untruthful here. I do it almost every day and specifically love the weekly and monthly part of the deal. And then the everyday piece where I can look at, okay, what am I going to focus on today? What am I grateful for today? What am I happy about and excited about for today? That tends to get my attitude and my mind right. And we both know that getting your mind right is 90% of the game.
Totally, 100%. And it's funny you mentioned the electronics because usually when I talk to people about Panda, they're like, oh, it's so old school. You use a paper planner. No, I do not. I use an electronic calendar. I'm not, you know, I'm a millennial. I definitely use electronics, right? But so all my calendar is online, but what I do is I take 15 minutes every morning and I physically write it out because there's just something so tangible about, you know, connecting your brain and writing it and things like that. So I write it out. And I think more importantly, I think the part that's been really helpful for me in this practice is not just, okay, I've got a meeting with XYZ this morning. What do I want to accomplish during that meeting? Because I know before I started this practice, I would just show up to meetings kind of unprepared. What are we talking about? What is this for? Right? Like, what are we doing? And so now I'm hyper clear on like, what do I want to get across? What are we trying to accomplish? It's really helped me shorten meetings because when you're prepared, you can be more succinct and efficient. Right? So, or should this meeting be happening at all? Like sometimes I'll go and say, oh, well, we've got this meeting scheduled today, but we didn't do what we were supposed to do last week. So let's reschedule this. Let's take it off the calendar because it's going to be a waste of everyone's time. So I don't know. I think it's been a really great practice.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. It really does. And I'm loving it. I am having more fun than I know what to do with. And hey, you're right about meetings. Remember, I spent 20 years in the home office. And if there's one thing that plagued us, and I'm just as much culprit about it as anybody else, if there's one thing that plagued us, it was unnecessary meetings where we would get in there and say, okay, now, what are we talking about today? Who's going to lead this conversation? Where are we going with this? Yes. And, you know, 30 minutes later, you say, well, obviously this wasn't going to work today, so let's reschedule. It's amazing. A friend of mine, Tony Jerry, wrote a book called We've Got to Stop Meeting Like This, and he's absolutely right.
It's just incredible.
Just absolutely incredible. So, Misty, one of the other things that I find that everybody talks about, and just it always comes back to the conversation when I'm talking with financial services professionals, and that's marketing and prospecting. Got any great ideas that you use with your agents to help them build that consistent flow of prospective buyers?
Well, for us, we really encourage our advisors to grow vertically and deep in 4 to 6 markets. I think so many advisors that I talk to, you know, outside the industry or outside of our firm, and even some in our firm that haven't necessarily adopted our strategy, they are so broad and wide and not deep at all in any market. So they have, you know, a couple teachers, a couple firefighters, a couple business owners, a couple dentists, whatever. And it becomes really hard to network in those spaces because you don't have enough of a volume, right? So we really encourage our advisors to pick 3 on the personal side and 3 on the business side. And we help them figure out how to do that, right? because some things you're really passionate about are not good business markets. They're just not good for business, right? Because of all sorts of reasons, or, you know, there's just going to be hurdles that don't make sense. And so, you know, we help them navigate through that. But I think first is getting clear on the markets you want to serve. Because once you're clear on the market you want to serve, it becomes much easier to do market research on how to penetrate those markets, right? Whether that's joining certain associations or, you know, it's a lot easier to pony up money for an event or an association if that's a key target market for you. But if you're trying to go to, you know, 25 different associations in all sorts of different industries to just see what sticks, most of us don't have the capital to do that, at least at the beginning of our career, right? So I think that's where a lot of people go wrong, is not having focus. And I think focus is number one. We do a lot on social media. It's amazing how many people will take a call just from a reach out on social media if you have any sort of personal connection. So I love doing what are called Boolean searches in LinkedIn. A lot of people don't even know what that term means, but it's using filter words like and or not, you know, things like that. So as an example, I can do a search for women and yoga, or women and the college I went to, right? So I can find a common connection based on, you know, who I am. And it just really filters down, again, going back to that focus conversation of, oh, this person's probably going to say yes to a conversation with me, right? So,
well, it's
nothing magical. I don't have any magical answers for you. This is still hard work in building relationships, right? It's all about relationship building. We're just trying to help people do it in a more proactive and strategic way.
That makes perfect sense. A qualified prospect is still somebody who will see you on a favorable basis, and that means they'll take your call. So you're right on. Right on. I think that's probably the most important piece, because, you know, can they afford to pay for it? Can they pass the medical? And do they have a need? Well, most everybody has a need, and the folks you're going to call on have the money. And, you know, we'll find out whether you're healthy. So it will they take my call? That's number one.
Yes. Yes. And I love leveraging other relationships, right? So I very rarely reach out to someone that I don't at least know someone who knows someone. And I find that if you prime the pump, and if you have the personality of you always trying to help others and serve them first and connect them first, they want to reciprocate, right? It's that power of reciprocity that we as humans have, most of us at least, that if I help you, you feel kind of obligated to help me back. So I'm always looking for ways that I can serve people, whether it's a neighbor or someone in the community or whatever. Like, I always just want to serve first, and it usually comes back to me tenfold, right?
Oh, it does. It does. There's no doubt about it. Misty, there are two other things that I really want us to get to today, and one of them has to do with metrics and what we measure, because we both know that when you keep score, the score gets better. But more than that, if you're running a business, you can't run that business without knowing what the data is around the activity and the results of that business. So what metrics should we be watching? What, as financial services professionals, what do we need to be watching really and truly?
We really tried to shift our focus on metrics to impact, right? Like, how many lives have we served? How many households have we impacted or touched? Because, you know, historically the industry focuses on GDC, right? Like, how much investment revenue or how much premium did you write? And whatever, that's all fine and good. And we make money through those things, and those revenue lines are important, but it's a very kind of selfish way to look at the world, I think. And I think that if you switch the metrics to how am I making an impact in this universe? How am I funding our community? Right. It's a stance that people want to get behind. So actually, in fact, a few years back, actually, it's probably been much more than a few years now, but we changed all of our awards. So all of our awards are no longer around, you know, we don't call them like highest premium leader or whatever. Like, we attach it to what was the outcome of that? Like, you know, like, how many households did you serve and community impact and things like that. And we found that the advisors were able to rally more around that. They were more excited about putting that on their desk, right? Like, I served the most households in the community out of everyone in my firm than they were to say, you know, app count or something like that. So I think that that's important. I think the other thing that's important is that, you know, you track the front end activity metrics that are going to cause the productivity to come, right? So often I see advisors just targeting the productivity without a game plan for the activity that's needed to back into that productivity. And then 6 months in, they're like, oh, I didn't hit my number and I don't really know why. And it's like, well, I know why. You're not you're not doing any activity, right? So activity is still important, right? We talked about on the last podcast that your legs, you know, you have to use your legs and your feet to actually do things to get to your goals, right? So I think activity is really important. We still follow the one card system. I know it's like 40 years old, but it still works, right?
So exactly, it works. Why screw it up? If it works, it works.
It works, yeah. Right. Yeah, and I think Japan did a study in like 2010 or something. I'm totally butchering that date, I'm sure. But, you know, they restudied it and said, yeah, these are still the numbers, right? So we still do one card system. As an agency, we actually started tracking net retention, like net FR growth, rather than just recruiting numbers, because it doesn't matter how many bodies you put into the system. If you're losing them faster out the back end, like what is everyone doing, right? So when we started focusing on, you know, net retention and growth, that became really powerful from us as an agency perspective. So.
Well, that sounds great. What specific metrics do you recommend an agent, let's say somebody in 5 years in the business, what activity metrics would you have them be watching?
Look, I think how many new meetings you're getting every week are important, right? Mm-hmm. Like how many new meetings are you holding?
Yep.
And everyone's going to have a different sales process. So some people might have two or three meetings for a close. Some might have a one or two meeting process. So you'll have to figure out your process with your organization of what that looks like. But I think that if you focus on new meetings held, if you've got, you know, a good process, the back end results should happen, right? Ideally. So I think new meetings held is really important. I think how many new names you're getting into your system that are open to a conversation are important, right? Like how many people either said yes on LinkedIn, like we were talking about before, how many introductions you got on a favorable basis are important to track. I do think the productivity metrics are important to track at some point, because if you're having all the front end activity success and nothing's coming out the back end, then you likely have a training issue, right? Like your language isn't great or your process isn't great. There's a hole somewhere that's making that not come out. So I'm big into ratios. I think that, you know, you can't figure out the art of this business if you're not tracking the science of this business. And the art would be obviously those things like narrative and language and, you know, how do you get people to make a commitment? And then the science would be all the metrics that we're talking about. Right. So I don't know if that answers your question, Morris, but
you did.
Dive in a little bit deeper.
No, you did. You did. That was perfect. Absolutely perfect. I think in my opinion, it comes down to choosing the right metrics and not choosing too many, because we don't want to have 10 or 15 things you're trying to measure, because golly, you know, if I got 10 or 15 metrics, I can be good at one or two of those all the time. I've got to look
at
what's really most important and not fool myself with a bunch of metrics that really don't move the needle.
Yeah, that's totally right. We call those our core four. So there are four core metrics that we track, which is how many new names did you get into your system that day, right? So for us, we want to get 5 new names in a day.
Uh-huh.
How many people did you schedule a new appointment with? So 2 a day. So we want to schedule at least 10 new appointments per week.
Yep.
How many people would actually do a fact finder with you, give you their goals and their concerns and their dreams, right? So we want to do at least one of those a day or 5 a week. And then how many people did you have the opportunity to present a solution to, right? So a closing meeting historically is what the industry's called it. Clients probably don't like that term. So I like to position it as how many people did you get to, you know, give a solution to? And we want to do at least one of those a day or 5 a week. So those are the core four things, because we feel like if you can do those core four things day in and day out, the productivity is going to come.
And I love what you're saying there, because the words do matter. The words definitely do matter. One of the top agents at New York Life, a very good friend of mine, says he will not allow his staff or anybody around him to use the word S-A-L-E. Now, I tend to disagree with that. I'm very proud of the fact that I'm a salesperson, but he doesn't want to do that. He wants to focus on solving problems, and that's what he talks about. And he comes in, he's, well, Tim, did you solve anybody's problems today? How many problems did you solve today? And that's what they focus on. So it makes perfect sense. And Misty, last question, and we'll wrap this thing up for this episode, but you talk about helping people get to the next level, whatever that might be for them, and we're talking about helping people get what they want, but getting to that next level is common language in our industry. What do you do when somebody walks in and says, Misty, you got to help me. I'm okay where I am, but I got to get to that next level. How can you help me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we actually call that the ceiling of complexity. We borrowed that term from a friend of ours in New York. I don't know if he came up with it, but that's where I learned it from. All my best ideas I stole, by the way, from someone smarter than me. So
research, Misty. It's called research.
That's right. It's called research, right? It's not theft. It's research. So with the ceiling of complexity, right, advisors get to this point where they want to make more revenue or more incomes, because revenue and income are not always the same, right? You can have more revenue and not more income. We've seen that happen more times than we care to. So they want to make more income. They want to have more time and freedom for their family. And look, they've got all these clients to service too, right? So that ceiling of complexity of how do I work less and make more is a real challenge for a lot of producers. And I don't think the industry does a great job helping advisors with practice management. They do a really good job teaching them products and strategies and taxes and all this other stuff, but they don't actually teach them how to scale their business, right? So we've really tried hard, and we don't have a perfect solve by that, by the way. It's something that we're constantly tweaking and working on. But we really believe that dynamic teaming and enterprise teaming is really the only way to do it. There's only so many hours in a day. We talked about that ad nauseum today, right? 168 hours in a week. So there's only so many things that you can do as a single human. So we really believe in teaming. For us, we believe in, you know, choosing your swim lane and finding the things that you just are passionate about that energize you, that, you know, when you stick your feet on that cold floor in the morning, like we were talking about before, you're just like, yes, I'm very excited to do that. And then getting rid of all the other things that you're not good at, or maybe you're good at, but you just don't love. You know, I'm a great example. I'm very detail oriented. I'm very good at paperwork and dotting the I's and crossing the T's. But even though I'm good at it, I hate to do it. It literally makes me want to claw my eyes out when I see a like 50 page document. I'm like, I'm not reading this. Someone's got to give me the Cliff's Notes version. And so, you know, I would need to partner with someone like that. And so we believe in partnering. We believe in dynamic teaming. And I think it's a customized solution for every person, because every person's going to have different things that they really enjoy and are energized by. So I know that that's not a super clear answer, but it really can't be, because everyone's a little bit different, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We all are. And our businesses are different, and our markets are different, and the way we do business is different. So that makes perfect sense. I love the idea of partnering and dynamic teaming. Makes all sorts of sense. And golly, gee whiz, we got to get rid of all that stuff that doesn't really matter that we're spending time on. And we got to get rid of the stuff that we don't like to do and find somebody that can do it for us. Those are the things that I think help people rise to the next level every day.
Totally agree.
Misty, thanks again for being with us here on the Business of Sales. Love having you here. Will you come back again?
I will. Yes, I would love to. Thank you so much.
That would be wonderful. Thank you. And for everybody else out there, go out there and make it a great week. Go out there and make it a great day. You've got wonderful things you can do to help other people today. Just go out there and do them. Until next time, I'm still Morris Sims, and I'll see you again on the Business of Sales.